This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
And it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. Your favorite wagering options, in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. It's pretty simple. If you're in Vegas, bring your state-issued ID to any MGM property on the Strip. And when you do, you're betting within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-522-4700 if you have a gambling problem. That's BetMGM. Of course, the king of sportsbooks. The king behind the counter at the South Point is Chris Andrews. But we get no, I'm just playing as we say hi and welcome you back here. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. He, of course, is a Hall of Famer. Vinny Meliulo. And as we say hi to Vinny. Hi, Vinny. It's going to be
Does
a crazy
that make me
day.
The prince?
That you are the prince. You're Prince William or Harry, one of the two. It is going to be a busy day there at the South Point because you got baseball coming down to the wire. Actually have a nice little setup here for college football tonight with a couple interesting games. And, of course, a busy week four. Hi, Vinny.
Hey, good to be with you guys. Patrick, yeah, good point. An excellent Friday, probably the busiest Friday that we've seen since week one of the NFL. It's hard to believe we're already in week four. But, five college games tonight. You've got, of course, one of the games involves UNLV, which is an 8 o'clock start. That game will get a lot more betting interest than it normally would. I mean, the Rebels do get some backing here in town, but the fact that the game is here, then it's the last game of the night, 8 o'clock Pacific. That game will do well. You mentioned a full slate of baseball. Everybody's going to be watching the Yankees to see if Aaron Judge breaks the record of 61. And by the way, the Mets and the Braves, who. I think back, it wasn't so long ago where the Mets had, an 11-12 game lead over the Braves, and now it's down to one. So the NL East is going to come down to this series this weekend. And, of course, we start off Sunday morning. We got Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon and evening college football, and then Sunday morning getting things started very early, 6:30 a.m. Pacific time with the game in London.
Vinny, the college game that seems like it's getting the most action on Friday, if we just focus on that for a second, is the Washington-UCLA game where, Washington has been, I think, done a good job with Keenan DeBoer, with DeBoer as the head coach. And I'm not sure really how good UCLA is. They struggled with South Alabama. That line opened up, Washington 2.5? And has it stayed that way? But seems like UCLA is getting most of the action.
Yeah, good point, Michael. We actually opened Washington higher. We actually opened Washington 4. They took the 4. They took the 3.5. We're down to 3 with Washington. This Pac-12 has kind of been, I don't know if you want to call it, a little bit surprising and, frankly, a bit perplexing this year, right? When you look at how good and how well Washington's played, Washington State, Oregon State, they've surprised some people. Utah's still the top-rated team in terms of power ratings. Oregon has seemed to gotten back on track. There's the USC, which got a lot of support going into the season with our games of the year and in terms of the future book. But it's a much more competitive conference than we initially thought. But in this one here that you mentioned today, UCLA getting the betting support so far at both 4 and 3.5.
Can I just quickly stick with a game tonight, college football, UTSA, remember, they won that conference, Conference USA, last year. Middle Tennessee State. The reason I bring it up is because Middle Tennessee State, biggest win in program history last week, Michael and Vinny, on the road at Miami. They were 25.5 point dogs. But, and many are pointing this out, talk about a tough spot for Middle Tennessee. I mean, if you look at ODU beating Virginia Tech, they lost the next week. You look at Marshall beating Notre Dame, they lost the next week. You look at Eastern Michigan beating Arizona State, they lost the next week. It's just a really tough spot for Middle Tennessee against a very good UTSA team. The Roadrunners, remember, they lost in overtime to Houston. This is a good team, Vinny.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what's getting played here, Patrick, is the total. The total's up a couple of points at 65, and it's probably going to continue to climb. But what's interesting, and to your point, you want to bear that in mind, possibly, an emotional letdown spot. We did have UTSA as a 5-point favorite on the opener. They're down to 4. So initially, right now, Middle Tennessee has gotten the support so far. But I got to tell you, I suspect there'll be some San Antonio money coming in, Patrick. But a good game. This is, again, this is a nice little Friday night in college football. I'm really, we're gonna do quite a bit of business. And right before I came in the studio, you know, there's already lines at the window. Now, we don't have the 12 windows open right now. Of course, the apps are open. But there are a few windows open, and it's been steady all morning. And I think it's just every hour as we get into the evening tonight. It's going to be, again, one of, if not the busiest Friday that we've seen. One of the busiest of the fall, but the busiest one we've seen since week one of the NFL.
And just to quickly, another update. I mean, the UNLV team's played better than I expected they would play. Are they getting a lot of – I mean, that opened up 14. Where are we going with that line against a New Mexico team that they should beat? But to me, the line's moving to New Mexico.
Right now, we're holding steady at 14. Rebels as 14-point favorites here at home. I suspect, Michael, again, as we get into the evening, there'll be more support for UNLV. And anybody looking to bet New Mexico maybe wants to wait, because if the Rebels do get support and it goes through 14, then you'll be able to get better than 14 as we get closer to kickoff. But I think it's going to depend, because don't forget, a lot of these bets that are going to be in are going to be the multi-leg bets that we oftentimes talk about, parlays and teasers and things, but especially in college football, it'll be parlays. So I think a lot's going to be going to the Rebels tonight. And so if you're looking to bet New Mexico, I suspect that number will go higher.
And how about the over? I mean, UNLV shockingly is one of the best scoring teams in the nation. They rank 25th overall. I mean, is this over playing, getting any action?
Just a little bit, Michael, from 43 and a half. It's at 44 right now. As we get through the day, again, the public's general sentiment is to root for points and bet the over. So I think we'll see some over money. But, you know, the Rebels can score points. Is New Mexico going to, you know, you're going to, if you want to bet the over in this game, you're going to need New Mexico to get on the board, you know, for, you know, at least a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, but I are they going to be able to do that? That's the big question here. Rebels will score. Question is, will the Lobos?
You know, I was using that example, Michael and Vinny, of Middle Tennessee, a big win, turnaround, tough spot. Well, think about Tulane. Houston's a good matchup tonight, but think about Tulane. They go on the road, Manhattan, beat Kansas State, and then they come back home and lose to Southern Miss, right? So again, let down after a big spot, and they're at Houston tonight. Tulane's 3-1. Houston, preseason darlings, 2-2. Vinny, what do you got on this one?
Yeah, Patrick, and you know what? The bettors have supported your point there. Laying everything from 2, right now sitting at 4. So 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5. It's been Houston money, real steady all week long. But this game coming down about a point and a half, 2 points in terms of the total. Yeah. Now we're sitting at 53.5. So support for Houston here, off of the 2-point opener, now sitting as 4-point favorites.
I mean, the one thing about Tulane, Vinny, and the reason I think that over and under is coming down is they're the 18th best defense in the nation in relative scoring defense. They're fourth in total defense, and they're eighth overall in scoring defense. So they can, unlike most teams in the conference, they can play a little bit of defense. I don't think people realize that. I think that's, you know, that one of the things that often gets lost in the conversation is they can't play very deep. I mean, they held Kansas State to 10 points. Massachusetts, no big deal. And then, you know, they shut out Alcorn. But last week they lose. The Southern Miss scored 27 on them. I think people get the sense that their defense isn't as good.
Yeah, no, you're right, Michael. Again, 55 on the opener, down to 53.5. Starting to see some 53s out there on this too. So right now it's about Houston and the under in this matchup here for sure.
You guys are right. This is a really interesting Friday night slate, right? I mean, even if you talk about two 4-0 teams, of Washington and UCLA, but they're in Los Angeles, last time I correct, right, Vinny? And that is...
Yeah, this game's in Los Angeles,
Bruins fans have completely abandoned the program. I mean, it's...
How many people are going to be at this
game?
Washington will probably have more people there. Huh?
I wouldn't disagree with you. I would not disagree with you. That is, a nice little Friday slate. And you can tell Vinny's fired up. He's talking fast today. He's got it sounds to me, the way that he's kind of presenting himself, that he already ate his peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
No, not yet. I had the oatmeal this morning. By the way, okay. Now oatmeal with the, you know, the whole oatmeal. No, not the cut, you know, steel cut. No, the whole oats. The whole oats.
Thank
That's
you.
Correct.
Thanks for clarifying. Got to get the fire.
Vinny, before we go, I I have to ask this. The line that has driven me crazy all week, and I would love your expertise, and we can carry this over to the next block, but Washington, only a 3-point dog to Dallas, even though it's in Dallas. So if the game was played in Washington, are you telling me it would be a pick 'em?
No, I don't necessarily think so, Michael, because I think it still might be, because again, you can't just put an automatic 3 on the home field here. I think the reason for this, there's a couple of things. I mean, if it was in Washington, maybe I think Dallas might still be a 1-point favorite, actually. But the reason for this, and this game is holding steady. We've not gotten off the 3 here. And again, it takes a lot more to get off the 3 here at South Point. We don't move the money on 3. We'll move the number. But I think what we're seeing is a reaction to not so much what the Commanders have done or not done, but what Dallas did. So the debacle in the first week, they rebound nicely the second week. They go in and Cooper Rush has a terrific game. I'll give him all the credit in the world for beating the Giants in week 3. But were the Giants really that as good as, you know, their 2-0 record showed? I'm not so sure. And is Cooper Rush as good? It's hard to say. But I think it is a little perplexing. But again, when you look at the board this week in the NFL, there's more 3s on there than we've seen in the first 3 weeks.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the board, including a 3 in London. And remember, Washington, if they were playing at home, they have no home field advantage. That is completely dissipated as well. We're back with Vinny next here on the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, get your football season going right by becoming a VSiN Pro. Shout to Len Mead. Did a great job putting this together. Pro Tools, Pro Picks at a Glance, Pro Tips. $175 through the Super Bowl. So again, for example, Michael Lombardi exclusive articles, his look ahead, which he wrote last night into this morning. That's up there. You get the Pro Tools, including the betting splits, which we talk about all the time. You get everything, you know, NHL. Betting guide, NFL betting guide, college football betting guide, Point Spread Weekly. It's all there. VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN Pro. Okay, we're back here. Michael Lombardi there, Ocean City. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. And we're live from Las Vegas with Vinny Maliulo from Behind the Book there at the South Point. May I ask you guys about a game? Because obviously the scary crash with Myles Garrett, he is questionable, Michael. Jadeveon Clowney is questionable. Against a team, I'll start with you, Michael, then go to Vinny. Against a team in Atlanta that played very well on the West Coast, could have won in Los Angeles, won a very impressive game in Seattle, even though it is the Seahawks. Cleveland is at Atlanta, and Cleveland's laying 1. Michael, we'll start with you and get to Vinny on the number.
Look, I think this Atlanta team proves the point that I've tried to make consistently about spread offensive attacks. When the back is dominant and the back can do more than just run inside, and he's hard to tackle, it opens up a whole separate game. Everybody thinks the back, the receivers make the spread. It's the back. And this Cordell Patterson is sensational. 6.4 yards a carry, catches the ball in the backfield. Damn near impossible to tackle. Runs hard, runs angry. And I give Atlanta and Arthur Smith, I think even though they're 1-2, I think he's done a wonderful coaching job. I think he's managed his team correctly. He stinks on defense. He's tried to avoid that. They can't really stop anybody. But they've been in the games, and they've gotten the game to the fourth quarter. He's won 1, lost 2, and he could have easily won all 3 because of their skill players. Look, Pitts isn't a tight end. People know that, right? So when he's on the field, everybody's a nickel. They don't care what the media calls him. They don't care about the perception around, oh, he's a tight. No, he's not. He's a receiver. They try to block him, but everybody knows it. But this Patterson guy makes it all work, and Drake's really good, and Pitts is a good player. I'm not dismissing that. He's a good receiver. And Mariota's played really well within himself. And he can run, too. He becomes the fifth option, too.
The irony, you brought up Patterson with the position switch, has done an amazing job at running back for the Falcons. Well, literally 2 minutes ago, Falcons running back Cordarrelle Patterson is listed as questionable for Sunday's game versus the Browns due to a knee injury. That would change things remarkably.
Completely.
Go ahead, Mike.
Watch Vinny call to Chris Andrews. Move that line right now. Move it. I mean, because that's going to take away their explosiveness. Because now all of a sudden, you double pitch inside, you take, you know, what are you worried about? You know, what are you worried about? You're really not worried about anything. That explosiveness that he gives that team is tough to deal with.
The floor is yours,
likely,
Vinny.
Likely to go back up the ladder the way we came down, guys, to Michael's point. I mean, a lot of support early for during the week for the Falcons. Didn't open this game 3 like so many others, but opened it 2.5. They took 2.5, 1.5. We're down to 1 right now. But I suspect with the Patterson news that you may see things go back up. Again, I think people are paying more attention to now than ever before, guys, is the inactives, right? Well, and now, that, of course, that doesn't come till Sunday morning. But really watching the injury reports and team reports that come out. But I suspect that this number will come back up. And again, the total, one of the higher totals, too, at 48, too, this week. So we've seen the Falcons be a lot more competitive than people thought they would be. And so far this week, the bettors have supported that.
I don't know if you remember, I mean, it's a couple of years ago, but remember I went to that scrimmage or practice for the Raiders, Michael, and I said I came away thinking the most impressive player was Marcus Mariota. I know it sounds weird, but he was just so good in practice. The deep ball was good. He's played well. Like,
he really has.
You know, it's not a great offensive line that's protecting him either.
No, and he's protected the football when he gets hit. You know, I mean, look, this guy's the first pick overall in the draft. When I was in Cleveland in 13, there was some conversation he might leave Oregon. Now, his brother was going to school there. He wouldn't come out early. But he had that, you know, he's the first pick overall in the draft. I mean, he had that, like, invincibility attached to him, but it never really manifested itself in Tennessee. Arthur Smith was with him in Tennessee, so he kind of knows him. And, you know, he's very accurate with the football. He's thrown the ball down the field. I mean, his yards per attempt is outstanding, you know, and he's not really had a line to protect him. Concerned about his durability, that's always been the issue with him. And he's not an overt leader. He's kind of a quiet kid, doesn't really say much, but he is talented, and I don't think you can minimize that. He is talented, and I think they've done a great job of managing him. Now, if they don't have Patterson, it puts more of a burden on his plate.
Okay. Hey, Vinny, we do pro tips every hour, and I don't know if this will turn into one, but I just wanted to ask you from behind the book, can I get your overall philosophy on parlays? I'm going to make it very simple, and I'm going to ask you as a bookmaker your take on parlays.
Well, I mean, when you say my take, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, parlays are more profitable from a whole percentage standpoint for the house than straight bets, right? I mean, so, you know, bookmakers tend to love parlays. However, there's a great deal of exposure with parlays. So in terms of the general public, let's say, if you've got a weekend where you know, a predominant number of favorites come in, and let's say the public plays a lot, like they typically like to play the favorites, and you get the entire left side of parlay cards come in, or a majority of those come in, then it's tremendous exposure. Typically, when books get beat, it's due to a situation where there's enough of favorites that come in, and those favorites are grouped in parlays. That's why when we talk about you know, the games like on Sunday night and Monday night, the exposure that's on them, it's because it's a build up to them. So but listen, as a bookmaker, you've got to know that going in, and you've got to manage yourself accordingly. And how do you do that? Well, maybe you put up some alternate point spreads, you take some other measures in terms of your pricing on money lines and things like that. But you know, I mean, look, it's part of the business. There is inherent risk with them, but yet, you know what? The whole percentage is higher over the course of a season. The other thing that you want to mention, you know, remember, that's why from our side of the counter, guys, what we root for is not just all underdogs, because folks will play underdogs too, professionals particularly. But when you've got a week like this where there are so many threes, let's say, right? I mean, if you include last night, 10 games this weekend pro games are right around that number of three, whether it's 2.5, 3, or 3.5. And last night it wound up closing 4. So there can be, you know, the games tend to be closer. You need that mix. You don't need all favorites. You don't need all underdogs. You want that mix of both. But from a business perspective, they're an important part of the business. And you know what? You've got to just know going into it that there is inherent risk with them and reward. As a bettor, you want to manage them. If you've got parlays and they're multi, you know, they're going, particularly if they're staggered from by time, and let's say you've got a four teamer and your fourth leg, the first three legs are in and the fourth leg is that Sunday night or Monday night game. It depends. If you've got the dog, well, maybe you want to bet the favorite on the money line if it's a short money line favorite. And now you got a chance to win both. You know, let's say you got a chance to middle it. If you got an underdog going into that last leg, that's a 3.5 or 4. Maybe you want to look at the money line on the favorite there too. That's not just hedging. You got an opportunity to win both bets.
The way you danced around that open-ended question about parlays, it's almost like you were Fred Astaire. You brought a tear to my eye the way you diplomatically played the parlay question, Vinny. Bravo to you. My goodness, that was beautiful. Thank you.
Well, I've always got to have my dancing shoes on when I'm with you, Mr. Maher.
What'd you think about that answer, Michael Lombardi? That was Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly.
I loved it. In fact, basically, it was an advertisement. Please give me more parlay money because it's the best thing that goes on in our shop. Yeah, we love it.
That's right.
And what we love more than anything is when somebody parlays the Thursday game attached to the Sunday games and they lose Thursday. That's like, okay, we got the money, you know, Michael's this afternoon for dinner. That's what I love the best. Yeah.
Look at Vinny with the smirk. Gene Kelly, smiling. Fred Astaire, all in one. We just have a minute left.
You know,
you're so busy.
Can I just touch on one thing about that?
Please,
the thing about Thursday night games too, guys. Yeah, if it's your first leg, and let's say you didn't do well with it. Okay, so if you had the Dolphins last night in your first leg, you know obviously you've got another complete set of games. You know, you got a lot to do in front of you. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo your betting on Thursday night game. Don't bankroll your entire weekend just with the Thursday night game. I tell you that as a bookmaker because I know this. You're going to, you know, whether you do or you don't, you're still going to find the opportunity. You're going to find the resources. You're going to find the money to get in action the rest of the weekend. But I know you'll come and see us no matter how you do on Thursday night.
I will say this. I always loved you and Ginger Rogers together is what I'll leave it at that. You and Ginger Rogers always made great
movies.
She's
my favorite.
Hall of Famer, Vinny Maliulo. The parlay question got him shook. Thank you. Stop by at the South Point.
Thanks, Vinny. Have a great weekend, Vinny. Appreciate you.
See you guys.
Amal is next. Amal Shaw.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, the VSiN NHL season prep guide. All 32 teams are previewed, Stanley Cup playoffs, and point projections. Also, three things every new NHL bettor should know. So we're going to help you out, understand betting at the NHL. Rookies to watch, best bets for player awards. Andy McNeil does a great job with this. It's VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. As we welcome you back here on a Friday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Of course, this is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Right after us, VSiN Big Bets is on. Of course, Dave Ross and Amal Shaw. Amal Shaw, one half of Big Bets, joins us now. And I'll just start here. I'm not going to lead the witness. We went from behind the book and asked about parlays. How about a professional handicapper like yourself? Your take on parlays, Amal Shaw?
Well, I think they can be made at times. It varies depending on the situation. If there's 2, 3 games, 4 games on a college football Saturday you love and you're playing them straight as well, no reason not to parlay them. You have an opportunity to have a monster day if you do that. But I don't think that's the only play you should be making. You know, Patrick, so many times if you're around town and you go to some of these sports books and you see these guys putting in these lottery tickets of 9 teams, I'm like, why don't you just go play the Powerball and drive the 27 miles to California? You're going to win more money.
Yeah, no doubt. I agree with you, Amal. I really do. Question I had for you, Amal, and it's good to have you back today. We lost you last week. Survivor. Has this been the hardest Survivor year for you? I know you play it in both contests, but there's a lot of bad teams, but there's a lot of parity in the league in terms of there's a lot of mediocre teams too. So there's no guarantee when you look at the board. Has this been the hardest to play in your history of Survivor? Because to me, you know, people ask me for a Survivor pick every week, and I'm like, I don't know. To me, I would take Pittsburgh this week if it were for me.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I got bounced in week 2 with the Browns. I had 4 entries on the Browns. And then in week 1, I had 2 on the Tennessee Titans. But, Michael, I said before the season started, I didn't believe anybody would go through the entire year undefeated. Because when you look at the National Football League, team number 1 currently, maybe I'd make the case for the Buffalo Bills or whomever else you want to argue is the best team. But their injuries might have you sit them back a spot or two. And then if you look at the bottom teams, I don't think they're that bad. Seattle's probably one of the bottom teams. But Atlanta's not as bad as people anticipated. Houston competes. We saw them compete in Denver. I think when you look at the league right now, there is about as much parity as there has ever been, and I think it's a great opportunity from a betting standpoint to play underdogs in so many different situations.
I totally agree. And one of those teams that Michael has high on his power ratings that maybe others don't is Jacksonville. He's got them sitting 4 them all. This is a fascinating matchup in Philly this weekend. It's 6.5. Can I just get an overview from you, Amal, on Jags, Eagles, 6.5 here?
Well, let's start with Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts has been the biggest surprise. If I would have told you Tua, Mac, Baker, and Kyler, and Jalen Hurts, those 5 guys between Alabama and Oklahoma, and the bridge between those two is Jalen Hurts. Who's going to be the best quarterback? Who's going to be the worst? Number 5, I would have said Jalen Hurts. But all of a sudden, yeah, this guy has turned things around. And I've been critical of this guy like he stole my girlfriend or something. I mean, it's unbelievable how well this guy has learned to play. And he has changed the dynamic of what the expectations are in Philadelphia. I got no qualms if somebody has Philly as a potential team to come out of the NFC. They look outstanding, and the team's level across the board has risen. They're really playing well. On the flip side, I think Trevor Lawrence, that game last year, guys, if you remember against the Colts, I thought we saw the Trevor Lawrence's coming out party in week 17, game 16, week 18, game 17. He really looked like the guy that was the first overall pick. And now he's playing with confidence. They've got a competent coach in there. I mean, let's be real here. Urban Meyer, he just stole money from Shad Khan. Give him credit on that. But other than that, he ran that program right into the ground. Doug Peterson has come in and turned that program around. You got a healthy Travis Etienne. James Robinson is playing well. Defensively, this team is forcing turnovers. They are really just seeming to find their stride. And, guys, they're in a division that's very winnable. Now, in this game against Philadelphia, I like the dog getting 6.5 here. I think it's too many points. Philly's getting a ton of credit. But I think Jacksonville's the team that's going to stay in there, and they're going to compete. And Trevor Lawrence, by next year, is a guy that we're going to be talking about as a top 7, top 8 quarterback in the league.
I agree completely with you. And I think what people have slept on is how fast Jacksonville is on defense. You know, they get the kid, I can't say his name, from Atlanta. They sign him as a free agent, who's an outstanding player, right? They draft Devin Lloyd in the first round. They draft Walker in the first round. So they can fly. Now they put Robertson Harrison outside, along with Josh Allen. They have 2 ends that can run. They got linebackers that can run. It's very similar to the Tampa Bay Buccaneer defense, where their edges are really fast. Their linebackers can go tackle. And if you're going to beat Philly, that's the kind of team you have to have. You say, well, you got to cover Philly. Well, look, you got to be able to stop Hurts from running the football. You can't. He's got 37 carries on the year. And if you let him have all those carries and run and make plays, it opens up the passing game.
Yeah, you know what, Patrick? Michael is absolutely right. And you look at this team, they're doing it with young guys on defense and speed, you alluded to. Devin Lloyd, I loved him coming out of Utah. They take Walker from Georgia as the first overall pick. Josh Allen, he's playing extremely well. This is a team that's extremely dangerous, and this is one that you know, you got to pay attention to. And who is that? I'm going to butcher it. I was going to say the name, but you were smarter than me and not said it in terms of the Jaguars defense.
Alokun. I think it's Fasadi Alokun. I think. Well, I mean, that's my attempt on it. It was probably horrible, yeah. But look, they're good, and you know where they're not as good, like Tampa, is they're not as physically dominating inside. You know, Fatkasi, the kid they signed from the Jets, is a good player. He's 320 pounds. I mean, he gives them some girth in there. But if they add another tackle in this rotation, they could be really good.
Yeah, they played better towards the end of the season, that Jags defense, but they just look different this year. Amal, go ahead and finish up your thought there.
No, I was just going to say, I think the atmosphere has changed. I think the atmosphere in the building, Michael, you've said this more than anybody, and I have to be honest with you, it wasn't as big of a deal to me until I heard you say it over the last couple of years. You always talked about culture in New England, and I think the culture has shifted in Jacksonville.
Yep. No, they like playing for the guy. I mean, look, I hope he doesn't do what he does, you know, go for it on fourth down. I hope he manages the game correctly, which always worries me. But I think they like the player, and they've coached professionally. I mean, they've made Lawrence, whose mechanics were a disaster last year. His throwing motion was a disaster. Now, what worries me about this game is he can't make this a 60-pass game. He'll lose badly if he does. He's got to have some balance. I'm not saying run the ball to start the game. He's got to be able to get through halftime, not behind. He's got to be able to play effectively in the first half because the Eagles have benefited from 65 points in the second quarter alone, and everybody has to play catch-up.
You know, the Lawrence conversation was fascinating because I don't know about you, Amal. I know the comparison is Andrew Luck coming out as far as a sure thing. I will say this, even into his second year, maybe the arm strength isn't what I thought it was going to be at this level, but I thought he, and I continue to believe that Lawrence is an absolute no-brainer. He's going to be a Pro Bowler, but last year was a bit of an anomaly because it was such a mess.
I would agree with you, and I think even if he doesn't turn out to be that way, let's say he just, in a year or two, he doesn't turn out to be the guy you thought at the number one overall pick. This is a pick you make 100 times out of 100. There's certain players you take, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. There's other guys when you reach, that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, will he get to the level of, I think this is all about expectations. I mean, everybody sure. thinks he's going to be the next Peyton Manning. Will he be? I don't know, but he's going to be good enough to where you could compete for a title with him playing quarterback. To me, that's the way I see him.
So I'm going to ask you about this before we say goodbye. Amal Shah, of course, one half of VSiN Big Bets, which follows the Lombardi line here on VSiN. Are you as perplexed by the number in Dallas? Washington's been bad. It's your buddy Dave Ross and John Goulet's team, the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys are laying 3 with Washington in town. This Washington team has been dreadful.
They're horrific, and I'll tell you what, hopefully somebody will put a stop to Carson Wentz stealing more money in the National Football League next year. And you know, the other thing I think that gets overlooked, and Michael, I'm sure you're keenly aware of this, Ron Rivera, you talk about overrated.
Oh, boy.
I mean, this guy, Patrick, this is a guy that would double down, you know, facing a 10, and he's got, I don't know, he's got 12. I mean, that's the kind of gambler this guy is. He's an idiot. He's had 8 out of 11 losing seasons. Look at his record. He has lost 8 out of 11 years. He's had 3 seasons that were aberrations. He won a division one time at 7-8-1.
I mean, the only reason he's not is Daniel Snyder's in Elba, like Napoleon. They shipped him off to Elba, you know, and he's there and he's trying to marshal up some forces. I don't know if he'll ever come back, but that's what's going on. I mean, I'm with you, Amal. Like, they're not even well coached. Like, he watched Jack Del Rio for 17 games last year and brought him back. Like, if anything, there was really nothing good about what they did in the offensive line last year, their scheme offense. Like, there was nothing good. He brought the whole coaching staff back because it's a buddy network. I mean, that's what it is.
You're absolutely right.
Say
this program's going nowhere fast.
Yeah, it's some would say Jack Del Rio has a conservative approach on defense. I'm just playing. Check out his Twitter. It's hilarious. Okay, so that is Washington. Before Michael liked that one. Quickly, we're going to say goodbye. Do you think Minnesota closes 3.5 in London against New Orleans, or do you think it sticks 3?
I think it stays at 3 there. I still think the Saints could be dangerous. Jameis's health is the key in that game.
Okay. Yeah, and the other thing is, too, Amal, Dalvin Cook made the trip. So if you take a player to London, that means he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, you said Jalen Hurts steals your girl? That could never happen because, as he's known in the control room, Mr. Steal Yo Girl, Amal Shah at VSiN. Your back on this guy. Thank you, Amal. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Amal.
Guys.
Coming up next, we are going to be joined by Daniel Wilcox to talk the Ravens. He won a Super Bowl with the team. Why not? We continue. Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. I tell you every day about it because it's important. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM reward points, and you can redeem them for online bonus credits like free bets. Also, you're headed to Vegas or an MGM property, you can use those points towards dining, shows, hotel rooms. It's a great deal. It's the betting's premier loyalty program. So make sure you check it out. Go to BetMGM.com. If you have a gambling problem, it's 1-800-GAMBLER. You've got to be 21 years or older. Okay, we got you back here. We are efforting Daniel Wilcox, who was a Raven, a Buccaneer. He won a championship with the Ravens, the tight end there. We'll get him. We do have Coach Wilcox on Twitter. Daniel Wilcox joins us. We wanted to talk to somebody about a great matchup, of course. That's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher as we welcome in Mr. Wilcox. We want to talk about this Buffalo-Baltimore matchup. First off, thanks for joining us, Daniel. And we should start with the obvious, and that is Lamar Jackson, who has been just awesome. What are you seeing from Lamar early in the season, Daniel?
What I see from Lamar is just a mature quarterback, you know, going into his fifth season, man. And he's starting to just put pieces together. He looks a lot more poised in the pocket, a little bit more patient. You know, he's taking his time to, he's getting the ball to the first receiver that's open, and he's not trying to force things as much as he used to in the past. And he's coming into his own as a player, man. You know, he's not running the ball unless he absolutely has to, or it's a call, or if it's a call, a signed run, you know, like a read option play or something like that. And the first couple of games, what you noticed that he wasn't pulling much of his read options because they was keying on Lamar because they didn't have their starting running backs on the field. And he was giving every single thing to the backs the first couple of games. And then during week three, all of a sudden he explodes and have the 100-yard game, because they started keying on J.K. Dobbins and Justin Hill as they came back. And then he was able to pull some of those things and you know, run some to the house. And, I mean, he had an explosive game 2 weeks in a row, man. Just, I love seeing how Lamar is putting his game together and how he's turned into a mature veteran player.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think he's been sensational, and I saw him at Louisville get better every year he played at Louisville, so it doesn't surprise me how good he's become. And two things I want to ask you. First, how often do you wear the Appalachian State jersey around the area, stick your chest out after those big wins beating Texas A&M, huh? You got to be proud about that school. And then second, the other question, Daniel, is can this defense get better?
Absolutely. So first question is the App State gear. I don't wear much App State gear at all. I'm an App State fan through and through because I played there. That's the alma mater. I always rep my squad. But I've been customizing a custom jacket for Appalachian State, and it's an App State legend coat. Wait for it to get finished. When it gets finished, I'm going to wear that every opportunity nice. I get. Yeah,
and we'll have you back. You can promote it. We'll have you back. You'll promote it.
Absolutely, man. It's going to be a sharp coat, man. I'm excited about it. It's a Hall of Fame App State legend jacket since I got inducted into the Hall of Fame back in 15. So it's a pretty cool coat. As far as the defense in Baltimore, I think – you know, I really do think the sky's the limit for them, man. They're young. They got a bunch of veteran guys that has a little bit of savvy and has that knowledge, and they know what it takes to win. And, you know, they got Calais Campbell in the middle, and I just think he's such a huge impact player for them. They got to get some guys, you know, playing better on the edge. And once they get some guys playing better on the edges where they get some more pressure on the QB, I think the secondary is going to be a heck of a lot better. I think talent-wise, they're probably one of the best secondaries in the league. And I think there's just a lack of communication going on right now and a lack of understanding the new defensive scheme that Mike McDonald's putting in. And they're going to grow. I think they're going to continue to grow as the season goes on. And they're going to be a team that's going to be around in December that's going to have some people scratching their heads and like, man, how did we let the Ravens sneak up on us like this? I think they're going to be a phenomenal team this year.
App State Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champ with the Ravens, Daniel Wilcox, at Coach Wilcox on Twitter, joins us here at Lombardi Line. Okay, let's talk about the other side. Buffalo, Baltimore. Buffalo's laying 3 on the road this Sunday, Daniel. What do you like? There's a lot to like, but what do you like about this Buffalo team?
I mean, what's not to like, man? They got one of the top defenses in the league. They got Stephon Diggs. They got Josh Allen. You know, they got a ton of talented guys all around those guys that are playing really, really at a high level. It's exciting to see Josh Allen, right? You know, him and Lamar, that same age group, came out together. It's crazy to me that Lamar is 2 years younger than Josh Allen. You know, Josh Allen's 25, Lamar's 23, just to kind of see how they play the game. But, you know, they two are the same type caliber guys. You know, Josh Allen kind of reminds me of a Ben Roethlisberger, but a smaller version that can run a little bit better. And he's very smart. He's an intelligent guy. To me, he has that Tom Brady factor where he'll take the first guy that's open every single time. And I think that was one of the things that separated Tom from everybody else because that takes a lot of discipline. It takes an extreme lot of discipline to throw the ball to the first guy knowing that the second guy may come open or the third guy may come open for a bigger play. If I get the ball to the first guy, he might only get 2 or 3 yards. you know, and get before you get tackled and stuff like that. So it's hard when you got that first read open and you throw it to him and knowing that that second guy is going to come open right behind him. But he seems to be very diligent on getting the ball to his first read if it's open, then the second read if it's open, then the third read if it's open. And I think that's why he's kind of separating himself from, you know, from the pack right now. The thing that I think him and Lamar got together, got in common is the accuracy and the ability to extend plays. You know, you think the play is over, you think that he's done, he's going to fight for extra yards, he's going to twist and move and shimmy his way out of a tackle, and he's going to extend the play to give his guys, you know, opportunity to get the ball downfield even more. And I think Lamar has the tendency to, when he scrambles, you know, he's out. He's not wasting time to play around with you guys at all. His eyes are downfield for a short amount of time, but after that, he's going with the wind. And when I say going with the wind, I'm talking about going with the wind. Ain't nobody catching him.
Yeah, nobody going to catch Lamar. I mean, I've seen it happen, and the questions of Buffalo's health-wise has got to be a concern. But what do you get the sense of the mood around Baltimore? Big win. After that devastating loss to Miami where they've got the big lead, they should be 3-0. What's the sense you get going into this big game from the players around the team?
The players, I think, they know that they are better than what they've done. You know, the defense has really good showings, and Baltimore has always been based on a defensive scheme. You know, the defensive scheme has always been the primary leader for the organization. You know, it's been a big shift with Lamar coming in. You know, now the offense is kind of leading the way, and the defense isn't holding up the end of the bargain song. And I think right now what the players are feeling more than anything is they want to let people know that they're really good. The secondary is being challenged. You know, they've been challenged, you know, quite a bit. I think before the last game, it was dead last in the league. And they're not that type of secondary to be dead last. You know, bringing Hamilton in and Williams in back at the safety spots, you got two very high-profile, talented, physical guys that are ball hawks that can play the back end. And then you got two talented corners with Marlon Humphreys and Peters, and Marcus Peters. I mean, those guys are some of the best DBs in the entire league. And I think they're going to have their hands full this week with Stephon Diggs and company, and them guys are playing lights out. And I really do think the defense right now is in the mindset where they got to really show the world that they're the Baltimore Ravens' defensive pass, and they're going to come and create turnovers, and they're going to do everything they can to get the ball back, to put the ball back in Lamar Jackson's hand. And that's what it's all about. Get the ball in the offensive hands, get off the field as fast as you can on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay, you get that jacket made. We're going to get you back on the show, and we want to show it off on TV, okay? Daniel Wilcox, App State legend,
you,
Super Bowl champ with the Ravens. Great information, at Coach Wilcox on Twitter. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you guys for having me. We appreciate it.
Good job, Daniel. Thank you very much. I will say this about Lamar. You harped on the fact that he put on weight, correct?
Mm-hmm.
He is a step slower, but that innate shiftiness will always make him the greatest running quarterback we've ever seen. Because nobody is better innately with the ball in his hands.
I think what we're going to see on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Baltimore is the new offense that is coming into vogue in the NFL. Is this quarterback who is a runner, the single wing pro passing game offense. You know, the ability to incorporate a fifth offensive player into the offense. Now, the risk that most people will tell you they're going to get hurt, well, you got to be careful. Both these quarterbacks have done a good job of protecting themselves, but the dimension that they bring, along with Jalen Hurts, it makes it very challenging, especially on critical possession downs. When it's third down and the defense now has to defend, quarterback draw, quarterback sweep, quarterback power. Okay, got that. All right, what else do we have to defend? You know, those short yardage plays that ultimately determine all the games. I mean, last night it determined that game. Miami was not good on short yardage, neither was Cincinnati, but they got away with it. But to me, this new age is where we're going with these quarterbacks is something that you're going to have to consider. And where is it going to in the future? You know, when I wrote Gridiron Genius, in the last chapter, they asked me to write about predicting where I thought the future of football is. And I do see a day where there's going to be two guys like it back in the 40s where, you know, Cecil LaBelle and Artie Hammer were playing quarterback for the Packers and they were changing who was playing quarterback and who wasn't. I think we're going to get to that. I think you're going to have two offensive weapons that can throw the ball on the field at the same time and create a lot of problems.
It's embarrassing for those that talk about Lamar's accuracy and ability to throw the football. He's a great thrower of the football.
But it was ridiculous. The poor kid had to sit in that room for 31 picks. He was the Heisman. He was better than Trey Lance coming out of college. He was better than most of them. It was embarrassing that he had to do that.
Possibility that he's going to have a Heisman and two MVPs by the age of 25. Is that good? Is that good?
I mean, and Bobby Petrino got him because nobody wanted to take him as a quarterback. Think about that.
M. Lombardi on social. Check my guy out. We'll be back early tomorrow morning. See you, Michael.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, Big Bets is next.